This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Body Wisdom Podcast. We are your hosts, Kiara Orbe and Gabby Barboza. Welcome to another episode. If you're new here, welcome, welcome. The Body Wisdom Podcast is all about nutrition, spirituality, nervous system healing, trauma healing. We get into all of it over here because we believe that all of it impacts our health and it's all really important. And if you have not listened to any of our episodes before, be sure to go back and listen because we've had some very incredible guests on the show. We have new episodes each Wednesday. So be sure to subscribe and let us know what you think about the show. And on today's episode, we have a very special guest, our friend Jen Ray, who is a somatic experiencing practitioner in training and also a yoga teacher of 10 years. In this episode, we get into so much, Gabby. Like in the span of an hour, so much ground was covered. I was like, wow. By the end of it, all of us were like, oh my God, at the end of it. But it was all so important, so good. I love it.
Yeah, Jen really takes us from the beginning to where she is now. And I think that it's a really good reminder that where you see somebody right now isn't necessarily where they've been. And perhaps they are here because of where they've been. And she really takes us through that, her childhood, what she learned, especially around relationships and how to call men in and how that has changed now. And she was able to call in her now husband, and they have a very secure, amazing relationship. And she also had her son when she was 17. And so this woman has not had just a smooth sailing to get where she gets to where she is now. She has had to come back to herself time and time again and really figure out herself before being able to show up and call in these beautiful relationships that she has now. And so I'm really excited for you guys to listen. I'm going to listen multiple times because we learned so much from her.
We're really excited for you guys to listen to the show, and we will see you on the other side.
Thank you for having me here. I am honored to be here to share this experience with y'all. I love your podcast. I've listened to it many times before, and I'm just so grateful for this opportunity to connect with y'all and connect with your community as well.
Before the show begins, I wanted to talk about one of our sponsors, Purity Coffee. Now, if you've been following me for a while, you guys know that I am a huge fan of coffee. I think I demonized it for the first 28 years of my life. And then I came to learn about all of the health benefits of coffee, but not just any coffee, right? I'm not talking about Starbucks coffee. I'm talking about Purity Coffee, a company that really cares about quality standards and safety standards for your health and well-being. So I love Purity because they triple screen for mycotoxins and mold, heavy metals, and pesticides. The flavor is unparalleled to anything that I've ever tasted before. It just feels clean. That may be placebo, but you guys, I don't care. It is so good. I have put so many of my friends and family onto Purity Coffee, and I hope I can do the same for you. If you're interested in stocking up on Purity Coffee, be sure to click the link in the show notes and use code BODYWISDOM at checkout for a discount. Now let's get into the show.
We were talking about black and white thinking, like survival thinking, like just thinking in absolutes. And I think that's something all of us kind of agree on now. And I'd love for you to share like your experience with, I don't even know if we talked about that. Like if you used to think that way.
So I think because I used to say this a lot, that things were either on or off, black or white, one way or the other way with me in many different realms within my life and within my relationship to things for a long, long time. And I think it was more rooted for me personally and boundaries. So living either with lack of boundaries or because of that lack of boundaries, then really rigid boundaries. So I believe that a lot of my healing and my relationship to having this more absolute thinking or black or white way of operating or being came from really learning how to invite more fluid, flexible boundaries into my life. And I also really do. So the reason this came up is Kiara made an incredible post on just this absolute thinking being really rooted in a survival response. And so I do believe that there is a little bit of that at play for many people as well. But for me personally, I think more of this like very black or white relationship to something or way of viewing something did come from just a lack of boundaries in my life for a long time. And then having to have really rigid boundaries at first and learning how to navigate where do I stand in relationship to this now that I'm trying to have boundaries.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And for me, that was stepping into the health space because I had so many symptoms. I wasn't getting answers for them. I like leaned all the way on one side and it was like, this is the way, this is the only way. And that was an attempt to keep like myself safe. And I wanted to continue to spread that message. And then I was like, starting to feel better and could kind of see like, oh, maybe I don't have to always like grip onto this idea. Like there's more that I don't know yet. And I can be open to that experience.
Just a reminder, you'll find the waitlist for our Body Basics course in the show notes. Body Basics is exactly how it sounds. Foundations to your physical body and nervous system that we teach to every client that we work with. It's everything we come back to time and time again when supporting ourselves and others. So you'll find a waitlist in the show notes to get access to the lowest price this course will ever be. Thanks for listening. I think that's big in the autoimmune space too, of a lot of people that go to a doctor and get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. They're told that your body is essentially attacking itself. And what words to take in as you're going through these symptoms and you're told that your body is attacking itself. And that I can't imagine that sits comforting with anyone. And then you kind of have that idea in your mind as you're going forward, as you make a plan, my body is attacking itself. And I'm so glad that there's been a shift in the languaging around that, and that this is happening due to an imbalance and its communication. And I also think, kind of going to another angle, this happens in relationships as we come into a piece of or a being of, wow, I haven't had any boundaries in my relationships growing up, whether that's parents or romantic relationships or friendships, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you realize that, and then you might be putting walls up because you haven't had any boundaries and you're kind of making up for lost time. I'm curious if that happened in your relationships, or not that you have to tell super personal stories about it, but just if that resonates at all.
Yes, both pieces of what you just shared actually really resonate. So I did have the experience of being diagnosed with the chronic illness. And when I asked more questions around what that meant, what an autoimmune disease even was, right? That was the response I got, was essentially your body's making a mistake and you'll need this medication for the rest of your life to correct it. And so I really related there. And then also to the second point that you made about relationships and just how, yes, this lack of boundaries for years in when I entered what I call was kind of like my healing cocoon. I needed to put up some of those boundaries with some of the relationships in my life that were a little more rigid because I was really open and vulnerable to attack and to the abuse that I was experiencing from those people. And so it did call at that time to have a more rigid boundary in place to really show that like this can't go forward in this way anymore. And then since then, there's been able to be more flexibility with the boundaries in that area. But I think it was really, like you said, kind of having to make a statement or make up for lost time. Like, this is a pattern that we've experienced for years, and I've got to interrupt the pattern. You've got to know that I'm really serious about not being okay with this like behavior in our relationship anymore. And so I do believe that, yeah, I did have this relationship to like being all the way in or all the way out for a long time, because I was kind of learning how to navigate like how to hold space for both experiences, how to protect myself, and also still engage in relationships and experience some sort of vulnerability and connection to people. So yeah, that was a really great point, and I did relate quite a bit and went through that.
A lot of our listeners, and just what I've seen with clients, they're is this desire to want to set a boundary with their mother or whoever, but there's that sense of like guilt. It's like, oh my gosh, it's my mom. Like, I'm not supposed to. And someone literally told me that was bad karma, so now I can't. How did you navigate that? Because I'm sure like setting boundaries, it was so foreign to me when I started setting them. It was scary, but yeah, how would you recommend navigating setting boundaries for someone who's just getting started?
Yeah, I really do believe that it is situational dependent, right? And it has a lot to do with the other person's receptivity to your boundaries, to respecting the boundaries that you're implementing. Because like in my personal experience, that boundary, that really rigid, which would, I guess, be a little bit more of a wall, was necessary to protect myself and to learn how to mother myself and choose myself and show up for myself in the way I'd never been taught or in the way I never knew how before. And it's not a necessary part anymore, because there is a very clear understanding that I am willing to walk away from this relationship if any kind of abuse or harm comes my way again, you know? So, but that's a more extreme experience, because just based on like childhood experiences and the trauma that I had, like I knew I was having to set this little, like a more harsh boundary in this area, because I was entering a place of like really protecting myself and learning how to do that. And I don't know that everybody has that experience. I don't know that it's as intense as what I was experiencing, or it could even be more so. But I really think that it's a matter of, you know, allowing people to know, this is my boundary, and not, maybe not even like over explaining around or like explaining why you need to implement the boundary, but just repeating and stating the boundary instead of like feeling like you have to explain to the person why you're doing the boundary or just like give them so much reasoning around it. It's just state the boundary. And when there's a little bit of pushback, state the boundary again. And if the boundary is not honored, I mean, people will have to know that there are, you know, consequences to that. And it may mean that for a period of time, they don't have the same access that they had to you. And it is a really hard situation, because most of the people that push back when you implement boundaries tend to be the people that really benefited from the lack of boundaries. So there is this real resistance that comes forward when a boundary starts to come forward. But I think it really roots in, I know during this period of time, I was so committed to fully belonging to myself and rooting down in my authenticity that belonging anywhere else was less important to me than like really learning how to honor myself and what was in alignment with my authenticity. And that's where I started to find like real true belonging. Like I'm willing to walk from this situation no matter what, because I know it's really not aligning with like my well-being or, you know, anything else in that manner. And when I really started to belong fully to myself, it became a little bit easier to start implementing those boundaries, because I was willing to risk losing people. And that doesn't mean that it was an easy process. There was so much grief and there was so much anger. There were so many nights that I cried, you know, myself to sleep. And through the period of time where I wasn't speaking with one of my primary caregivers, you know, there were nights, a night when I was like really sick, woke up in the middle of the night, super, super sick. And you know, what do you want when you're sick? It doesn't matter how old you get, right? You want, like, many of us are wired to want like our primary caregiver. And I just remember there just being this just wave of grief and just really experiencing it and allowing myself to cry and really like stepping into that role for myself and just like soothing myself and leaning into the other relationships in my life that exhibited some of that more maternal nurturing behavior, and just finding it in other places while I wasn't able to really experience it from like my, the true source, the primary caregiver, right? My mom, we can just say it. We can just call it like it is. I had to have a period of time, you know, where we weren't as connected just so that we could start to learn how to operate in a more boundaried way within our relationship. And I don't know that that is necessary for everybody, but and that's why I said it's circumstance dependent, but I do believe that it was a necessary part of the healing and moving forward in our relationship together.
And now for a quick break to chat about today's sponsor, Jigsaw Health. Are you feeling sluggish? Do you struggle with digestion? Is your blood sugar all over the place? Have you ran a hair tissue mineral analysis and can actually see that your adrenals need some support? The Adrenal Cocktail Powder by Jigsaw Health is a foundational supplement we practically use with every single client to support their mineral status and adrenal glands. The ingredients are intentionally curated to meet your body's needs, including whole food vitamin C from Acerola Cherry Powder, sodium from Redmond's Real Salts, and potassium bicarbonate. These three are crucial to the health of your adrenals. And if your adrenals are supported on a daily basis, this will send the message to your body that it is safe now. And if you're currently going through a period of stress, a supplement such as the AC powder can be helpful to mitigate the negative side effects of stress. So if you're interested in trying out the AC powder, click the link in the show notes to get your supply today. And don't forget to use code BODYWISDOM at checkout. Now back to the show.
Yeah. I think for a lot of us, setting boundaries is hard, so we avoid doing it because on the other side of that lies potential hurt for the other person. We hurt when we see them hurt, or it'll be painful for us. One thing that came up for me was, as someone who in the past has tended to lean more towards anxious attachments, I have discovered within my own self that I have a tendency, or have had a tendency, to cross other people's boundaries more and more and more with that anxious strategy. If I was the person that was benefiting from this person not having good boundaries, right? And so I've had to really just, be introspective about that and learn how to be secure in my own self, which is still a very ongoing process. And I think when we set boundaries, it gives us back this sense of self. Like you said, like you are so rooted in finding your own self and your own authenticity and integrity. And that I think when we hold on to that and let that be like our main driver and main focus, like everything else becomes just a little bit easier to make choices from, like from that space. So yeah, I hear you, and I imagine that was hard for you to set that boundary.
Yeah, and I, you know, I also think there was this time where I really had to start to, I had to grieve the mom that I wish, the relationship that I wish I had with her. And even the mom that at times I needed, and I had to like fully accept the mother that I do have. And there was a lot within that process as well. And also, you know, this understanding of trauma has given me just so like has healed this relationship on an even deeper level, because I have so much of a deeper understanding of what really is, you know, happening for her, and so much like what her experience is with trauma that's gone unresolved, and the ways that she's, you know, coped, and the ways that it's been passed down to me. And I'm sure the ways that I will eventually have to hold accountability for my son, you know, just having this understanding of like that I know my mom loves me, and I know that she really wants what's best for me, but she's suffering. There's a lot of pain and there's a lot of things that are unresolved. And so, yeah, I just had to like really get really clear on what was actually happening here. And like I said, really let go of that longing for that really awesome mother-daughter relationship that isn't, you know, full of the mother wound, that isn't dysfunctional, that doesn't have toxicity. Like the girls that are able to just like, you know, go shopping with their mom and get their nails done and like tell them everything. And it's just a safe space, you know, that I had to realize that that just wasn't going to be the dynamic for me, at least not now. And that I'm going to have to like really be that for myself, and that I can invite other relationships with women into my life that do have those qualities that I really desire in the feminine connection. You know, I had like, you know, a therapist that was, you know, very maternal, and I had best friends that had really nurturing qualities that I was able to really lean into during that time as well. So I was really making sure that I was like well-resourced in that area while I was navigating, learning how to kind of be without it for a time period with from her. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also curious how this has played out in your role of being a mother now. How the relationship between you and your mother has translated into your role of being a mother, like, because you didn't have that, and you just spoke of like how resourced you were in other areas that nurtured you. Yeah, like, do you feel like you kind of are doing things differently now with your son, like from what you didn't receive? Like, does that make sense?
So I had my son super young. I was 17 when I had him, and most definitely, I see where I've done things differently and where I've really actively tried to break the cycle and heal this from continuing to move on. And, you know, the harder things to see is I also see where things have, you know, continued and where I have passed things on. And that's the harder one to wrestle with. Like, it's hard to look at where, as a mother, you may have caused harm to the person you're biologically programmed to love the most. And I just know, you know, I know my mom's story, and it's a rough one. And I can't say that I, you know, could have done any different with the cards that she had. But I know that I chose to do different with the cards that I have. Because I, in many ways, my son, you know, I've explained this to you in our voice notes, in many ways, having him so young, it saved me, truly. Things were so unstable and traumatic, and there was so much suffering before I got pregnant with him. You know, I was like out on my own since I was 15, and he gave me like a sense of like stability and purpose. And his father's family, because I was pregnant, you know, like took me in and gave me a place to live and food to eat. And so it was just a different experience, because it was like the first time I was really in a long time where I was really starting to feel safe. And that maternal instinct just kicked on. It was like, I just knew what to do. And this had become like such a big part of my purpose and my will to like continue living. And even through like some of the darkest times that I went through in my 20s, where obviously all of this unresolved trauma started to show up again, he was my why before I knew how to be my why. Before I knew how to love myself, my love for him was so fierce that I chose to keep showing up even in the times where all I wanted to do was quit. And so I think that it, with my relationship as a mother to him, it was just a really big motivation for me to do things differently and to heal. He by far has been my biggest motivation to heal, and just continue breaking the cycle so that he's not having to experience the pain I experienced and the pain that my mom experienced. And, you know, probably goes further than that, but yeah. Does that answer your question?
Oh yeah, it does. And something that came up for me too, and I've known this for the past year, I think when I first started like getting into the trauma work, I was like, I'm breaking all the cycles so my children don't have to worry about anything. And then I started to reflect on that more and I was like, but wait, the challenges that we go through in life make us more resilient. I don't want my children to just have this perfect stress-free life, don't have to worry about anything. I think I had it just a little bit twisted. And now I'm like, how can I just be there for my child as they're going through their stuff? Like, I know I'm not going to be a perfect mom either. I know I will probably have some stuff that goes unresolved and that will technically get passed down to them. But how can I support them through that? What didn't I receive when I was a child from my caregivers when I was going through that, that now I can do for my children? That's the difference. It's like, okay, I'm more resourced now. Like Gabby and I were talking about this the other day too. Like, we have so much more to learn today than our parents did. Like, they did not have access to all of these tools and resources, like the internet. Like, there's so much out there today. So many books, so many podcasts. Like, our parents did not listen to that. Gabby and I always say, like, our parents were in survival mode. Like, my parents came from a different country. When they were super young, they didn't speak a lick of English. They had to learn. They had to learn. They had to work their way up. And thank goodness so that I can be here recording this podcast episode with you, Jen. Like, it's so different. But I think what I've also been reframing for myself is that my mother also broke cycles. Like, I'm not the only cycle breaker. My mother also broke cycles from her parents and so on and so forth. Like, it's ever changing. And that really helped me just like soften into that. And like, I can hold more space for them. Cause yeah, it's not about like blaming our parents for everything that is fucked up with us today. But yeah, just wanted to share that.
And now for a quick break to chat about the Nourished Woman. It's Kiara here, y'all. I wanted to drop in to remind you about my 4-week online group container called The Nourished Woman. And in case you're new here, this is the third time that we're running it, and I'm so freaking excited because it just keeps getting better and better. So this is the space to be surrounded by like-minded women on a similar path as you. This is for the woman who deeply understands that the nervous system is the source of their chronic health symptoms, understanding that stored trauma and emotions are playing a role in their physical health ailments. So inside of the Nourished Woman, we integrate both nutrition and somatic healing because both matter. You will also get access to 4 weekly video lessons with a Nourished Woman manual that you can refer to throughout the program. And inside of these video lessons are kind of an introduction to what we will review in the 4 live transmissions on Tuesdays. These are hour-long calls where we will go deeper with the information that you learned inside of the video lessons. And on Wednesdays, we will have a somatic workshop where we get to explore our bodies, our nervous systems, and the felt sense on the inside. I lead you through various practices that you can use on a regular basis to get in your body. And on Thursdays, we will have a Q&A or reflection and integration call. And that is where I will answer all of your questions and we will spend some time reflecting on all the information that we learned with our higher brain centers that week and letting it land and integrate into our nervous systems, because this is where the juice is. That is where the magic happens. You also get, this part is very exciting, you also get your very own hair tissue mineral analysis and full Monty iron panel in this program included. This is awesome, you guys. These 2 tests combined can tell you so much about your metabolic health and innate iron recycling system and how we can support your body at the cellular level. I promise you, these 2 tests have completely changed my life and the life of my clients. So I review these labs for you in a 30-minute video, and you also have the option to schedule a private call if you need further support, in addition to the customized protocol that I will send you reflecting these 2 tests. And you also have access to a community forum where you can connect with the other women inside of the program and where you can also get your questions answered by me. I am so excited, y'all. And because you're a listener of the Body Wisdom Podcast, you can use code BODYWISDOM for $300 off at checkout. Enrollment ends at the end of March. I love you and I hope to see you inside.
I love that so much. Like that was such, I felt that when you said that, because the same is true for my mom, you know, like I know she definitely broke cycles based off of her experience. Right. And it kind of frees you as a parent too, like sets you free from like how heavy it can be to, like I said, know and be accountable for where you maybe have, not done a great job in some areas with your kid, because you know that they're going to be able to break cycles too. And like you said, it builds resilience, and I know that I can just model to him ultimately what it means to heal. And I can just show him, you know, exactly that, what it looks like to heal and to learn. And I hope that he like evolves. And I think that as children, we're meant to like be a more kind of evolved version of our parents. Like that's just like the natural rhythm and pattern. Like I hope that one day he shows me where, you know, I can still grow and heal. And I always, my biggest intention is that if the day comes where he needs me to validate his experience, that I will be open enough to do that for him, to, you know, just like exactly that, validate his experience of what he experienced growing up with me as his mother.
I think that's the biggest recognizing is when what we needed in those moments that we were kind of becoming aware that our parents aren't on this pedestal and they don't know. I think as children, a lot of the time we think, okay, our parents know the best. They've been through it all. They know the best. And as we get older and older, we realize, oh, they're really just learning. They're learning just like me. And especially if you have a child at a young age, then you're really still growing up and you're still learning. So the fact that you can provide that presence and validation for him, and which can be, if I can imagine it, when it happens might be a little painful because it's like, shoot, I did everything I thought I could, but there still was this pain. And so you have that acknowledgement that that already is likely going to happen in some way or the other. But your presence is there and that makes all of the difference.
Yeah. Gabby, you said something the other day when you were talking, you were like, I feel like I know more than my mom. And I just feel like that's just how it is a lot of the time.
She thinks that I know so much more than her. And she told me that is, I just feel that you know so much more. And that's coming back to what you were saying is, I just have a completely different language. Like I grew up with access and I have a completely different language and experience. And listen, like you said, listening to podcasts and I'm hearing other people's experiences that she was a single mom of three at 26, moved across the country by herself. There wasn't access that she didn't have. And she went to therapy, thank God, at such a young age, but they're just, it wasn't even available. And that's where I'm so, you can tell I'm very passionate about this, but I'm so fascinated with when I have children and I think this is what you're speaking to as well, Jen, is when I have children, I'm so curious, what am I going to not know? Like what, not that I think I know everything, we can get into this really big ego thing, but what are they going to come to me one day and be like, actually, like, you don't know shit. And this is actually what should have happened. And what, like, I'm so curious and how that will play out.
Yeah. As parents, you just come to this understanding. It's tough, man. There is no like There's no manual. And I think that actually circles back to this beginning conversation of this like black or white way. I just think there has to be space for like nuance and flexibility with these different approaches, because man, every kid is different. Every situation is different. And the basis of it is, right, that they need like security and love and safety, right? Those are like the, if those bases and those needs are met, I think that's like first and foremost the foundation, but there's no manual. Like I think to some extent, many of us are out here just winging it and kind of doing our best, doing what we can with what we have. And so I do think there will be space for what you said, Gabby, where, you know, kids are like, actually, we've learned that, you know, this is better here.
Hey, going into the different relationships that you've called in, I hear that you have an incredible relationship with your husband. And I'm so curious, like, what that has looked like and how, yeah, you've healed to be able to get there. And
yeah, I love this topic so much. And I feel so called to support people in this area, because what my husband, his name's Jared, what Jared and I have is so special. And I have not always experienced relationships this way. And in fact, it was quite the opposite. It was like a 180 in what my past experiences were with many relationships. And so it did require like quite a bit of healing, I believe on my part, to be able to call in a partner like him. And also healing that we've done together, right? We've learned how to navigate things. We've worked through many things in our marriage, and have created just more of this like secure attachment and secure relationship, which this is like, I would say the first time I've ever truly trusted a partner, like on a deep core level. That was a really, really hard thing for me to do for a long time. And I actually believe I was like married to him already before I truly actually knew how to trust him. But it takes one secure attachment to start showing your system and showing how to start leaning towards a more secure experience. And I believe that that's something that we've created, and it's a gift that I will be forever grateful for, because it's taught me how to trust and how to open up in other relationships in life as well, not just romantic relationships. So I had just a history prior to my experience with my husband of very toxic romantic relationships. I believe that I definitely was in survival mode since the womb. Okay, let's just call it like we see it. Like, there was a lot of complex trauma, a lot of acute chronic trauma, and I brought this into relationships. And I also was attracted to men that, with that man, I was able to create similar dynamics to the volatile, abusive things that I witnessed in my early years between my two parents. And so there was a lot of abuse and, you know, of all different kinds, verbal, physical, psychological. And in my early 20s, I woke up in a physically abusive relationship. I had a really scary experience in Brazil and came home. And now, knowing about trauma, realized that I entered deep states of freeze. Because during that experience, I tried the flight response that was inhibited. I tried the fight response that was inhibited. And then fawn is ultimately what got me home. But I entered this long period of just collapse, freeze, deep, deep depression. And that was what brought me into a therapist's office, pretty much on my knees, like, I can't. And it was my son wanting to keep living and keep going on for him. And then just this will to like somebody just show me how to start healing, right? So I'd hit like rock bottom enough to finally just like surrender to, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm open to anything because it's this bad. And she was the first one to start opening my eyes to So she had first brought up like love and sex addiction. She told me what narcissistic personality disorder was. Like, I didn't know what any of these things were beforehand. And she's the one that kind of started telling me, like, read these books, look here. And what I realized through these things that she started pointing me towards was so much about who I was not who I really am, right? It's who I learned I needed to be to survive. And it's also who I learned I needed to be in relationships so that a man would choose me, because I found a lot of security and being taken care of by men in relationships. Like, a lot of these men were successful, they were wealthy, and in my early years learned to really take on the role of the seductress and kind of put my needs like underneath the surface and just do be what men desired. Like, that's what I learned super, super young. And so I had this really inauthentic relationship with sex. Like, I learned to do what men wanted, right? So that a man would choose me, and it wasn't authentic to me at all. So it really started, I had this huge awakening where I was like, the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I, what I do for a living, all of this is rooted in like being sexy so that I can find some sort of stability and security within a man choosing me. And so that was like the first layer. And I ended up like taking off my fake lashes, stopped getting spray, like went like total hippie granola, stopped wearing makeup for like months, like just was like, I have got to shed all of this that's not really me. And then did some solo traveling, just like was trying to like recalibrate. Came home, thought I had done some healing, and then I got into another relationship with a different kind of narcissist, the more covert narcissist. He wasn't physically abusive, but turned out to be very psychologically abusive. And honestly, that one was the one that really broke me, and that really, it hurt enough and it burned enough to like really ignite the change on these patterns and these ways of being. And I experienced a lot of betrayal within that relationship with somebody who I thought was my friend. It was the real rock bottom. And I remember finding out about all of this and feeling the real deep-seated abandonment wound of my father really come to the surface. Like, I'd realize I'd start crying about this man, and then I'd end up crying about my dad or my mom. Like, it was like the doorway to this really deep core wound healing that needed to happen with my inner child.
And now for a quick pause to chat about today's sponsor. Did you know Cozy Earth was named one of Oprah's favorite things in 2018? You guys, that's right, Oprah. Cozy Earth's bedding collection offers a variety of luxury pillows, sheets, blankets, and more. And if you feel like you have to switch out your bedding every couple years, so do I. You're not alone. You won't have to do that with Cozy Earth, because they have a 10-year warranty, because their high-quality items are made to last. They may be a bit of an investment, but they're sure as heck worth it. What's also really cool is that whenever I go to wash Cozy Earth's bedding, it only gets softer with every wash. And whenever I would wash any ordinary bedding, it just would never come out the same. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but I think you do. And in case you guys are wondering which color I chose, I got the oat. I feel like it really goes with my warm terracotta, peachy, rust vibes in my loft. And I am loving them. And whenever my friends come over, I'm like begging them to lay in my bed and feel the Cozy Earth difference. Anyway, you guys, don't wait to get your Cozy Earth bedding. Cozy Earth actually provided us with an exclusive offer today for Body Wisdom listeners. You get 35% off site-wide when you use code BODYWISDOM at checkout. Now back to the show.
And so I had set the intention to kind of break more of these, I guess not break, but heal these more codependent ways of operating in relationship to like, I was like, I'm going to be single for a year. Cause I just never really was single, was always with someone or had a partner or some sense of security in that way there. And then it was like almost 4 years later before I met my husband. And it was because on that journey, I started to really, like I said, belong to myself, root in my authenticity. And it was like, I'm no longer settling. Like the next man that I invite into my life in this way, like I'm going to know that he's it. Like he's going to be my person. And I really just started to feel into like, what's it going to feel like? Like that man, what's it going to feel like when he holds me? You know, and my feet are going to feel like they're on the ground when I'm in his presence. And it was just going to feel completely different than these high highs and low lows of the trauma bonds that I'd experienced in the past. Like, and I started to really become that partner for myself. I started to really choose myself and show up for myself in that way. And I also, because of like now knowing how the nervous system operates, I had to kind of start going on dates and just having coffee with guys that weren't my normal type, because I had to open up my system to like different than those trauma bonds and intense relationships that I had experienced in the past. I had to start showing myself that there's like a different way of navigating relationship, that it can be steady, that it doesn't have to be this like whirlwind intensity feeling within the body. And so there were a couple of different things I was doing to really start healing and calling in this partnership. One, really feeling into like what it was, not entertaining the things that were very similar to what I had experienced. And if I did catch myself in entertaining some of that dynamic, it was really learning how to like step back and choose myself and honor my inner child and resource and show up for myself in that way. And then the last piece was opening myself up to like different people. And that helped heal the belief system that all men are the same. Because for a long time, I'd seen from very, very young, was like groomed really young. My innocence was never protected as a child. And I saw terrible, terrible things. And was around a lot of men that are just, you know, not great, right? Like abusive and dishonest. And I had this picture of like men in my head that they were like all that way, that all men lied, all men cheated, like all of those things. Right. And by going and allowing myself to experience different people, I started realizing that no, like there are really great men in this world and they're not all the same. And I started attuning, I guess now I know the science behind it, my system towards this kind of person a little bit more. And then it started to feel safer. And I was able to start opening up to people that were different than what I'd always experienced, which was that trauma bond dynamic. So there were a couple of different layers in calling him in, but it really was rooted in like my own healing and unapologetically choosing myself. And it didn't matter what the relationship was. That period of time where I was single, and which was huge for me, I'm telling you, like major codependent for the longest time, really was really, really difficult for me to be single. And that was also the period of time where I was not speaking with my mom. So I was like, it was not a titrated approach. I probably wouldn't have advised it in this way. You know what I mean? Like, but I knew what I didn't, I only knew what I knew at that time, right? But I was just like, it was a really unapologetic period of like, I am just going to commit to what I know feels best for me right now and what I need. And in choosing myself in that way, I was able to really call in a man that chooses me too and chooses this relationship too. So
I'm just like, I mean, Jen, you know, like both of you know, like I'm going through that transition right now, and that it gives me so much reassurance and so much hope. And there's a part of me that's like really freaking scared. And there's another part of me that's like, wow. That transformation, like I was always praised for like how I looked, not only by men, but like my parents, extended family. You're so beautiful. Oh my gosh, you should be a model. Or, you know, so that was really highlighted. And so that sunk into my nervous system. It's like, oh, I'm loved when I'm this. And like getting all dolled up and pretty, like for a date or whatever. Like, I'm sure there was some of that messaging passed down, if not from my family, from society. right? Like you have to look this way in order for you to be accepted by them. And not only that, for me, it was also friendships too. And we can get into that as well. But yeah, like just the playing the seductress and putting my needs, like oh my God. I mean, same here. Like if you saw me 10 years ago, completely different person, as I would hope, you know, like I'm definitely not the same person as I was back then, but I definitely, I didn't have a self. I didn't have a body. Like I was so outwardly focused on that person. How can I please you? How can I show you that I'm the one and I'm worthy of you to choose me? Like, yeah. And so I completely, I lost myself, and it was the rock bottom that really shook me to places I've never been before that brought me out of that. And I was like, I was actually reminded the other day, I took a photo of myself and I posted it on Instagram in 2020. I was like, I'm never going to feel this way again. And that point, like kind of just going back to the boundaries conversation, like I needed to have that rigid boundary right then and there because I lost so much of myself. Like I didn't have that. And so in order for me to kind of build back, like I needed to have that rigid boundary. And slowly but surely, I started to come out of that really, really, really dark place. And it was that same year, I also experienced so much lightness, so much joy in my body, being alone. I was telling Gabby this the other day, like there was one moment that I remember so clearly in 2020. I was hanging out by myself in my room, also major codependent over here. Like, and I was so happy. I was laughing by myself. I was like just vibing out to music. I was trying to learn like headstands at the time, which I never learned, but I was like, okay with playing with that, like just by myself. Like, I can't remember the last time that happened. I was someone who couldn't even be alone in college. I went to work with some of my friends some of the time because I was so afraid of being alone. And if I felt like my partner was leaving me, it felt like it was this terror. Like I felt like I was dying. It was horrible. So yeah, wow, I can relate in so many ways.
Hello, this is Gabby interrupting this episode really quick to remind you that I offer hair tissue mineral analysis consults. If you are experiencing fatigue, brain fog, digestive issues, blood sugar dysregulation, or more, this is for you. An HTMA consult is great for the more DIY type person. So you'll send off your hair sample, we'll meet to go over your results in detail and talk about your 90-day plan. You'll even have access to me through Messenger for 1 week following your consult so you'll feel extra supported. The HTMA is truly foundational and where I recommend everyone starts on their wellness journey. Minerals are absolutely key. Every single organ and body system requires them, making it that much more important for your mineral status to be robust. So just go ahead and go to my website, gabbybarboza.com/services to book your consult or just see the show notes for the direct link. I'm excited to work with you. Yeah. With that transition, what did that transition look like for you when you started realizing, wow, the way that I have been has, not that we ever deserve abuse, but has called in or attracted these men that are similar to when I grew up. So going on dates with people that you wouldn't necessarily be attracted to right away, how did you gain the courage to do that? How did you get yourself out there to people that normally you wouldn't associate with in that way?
To answer this, kind of noting on what Kiara had mentioned about just needing to have that rigid boundary. So during this period of time, this is when like the rigid boundaries came on, right? Because there had been lack of boundaries for so long. So then all of a sudden there was rigid boundaries in every area that used to help me cope or self-regulate or cope instead of learning how to self-regulate. So I, you know, was completely sober. I wasn't drinking. My main coping thing growing up, like teenage years and stuff, was smoking weed. So I wasn't smoking weed. And I wasn't having sex or dating for a while. So I went through a period of time where I was in those more rigid boundaries. And so when I started to step out, I just started to feel like a little more capacity to start just connecting with people and getting to know people. And I remember somebody reached out to me and was like, hey, I know this guy. I think y'all would be a good fit. I guess he had asked her to kind of put in the word. He wasn't my normal type, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to just go to coffee and like not plan my future with somebody in that coffee date. You know, I'm going to learn how to just like, so it was like little experiences like that. I did get on dating apps and I would like, you know, match and kind of entertain, talk to people occasionally. The dating app thing never lasted very long because I'd always be like, no, I don't want this, and would delete it. So I only downloaded it a few times. And one of those few times that I downloaded it, it's actually how I met my husband. So I'm glad I did. Yeah. We met on Hinge. Yeah. 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 I like that you get to see people's personalities at play a little bit more on Hinge. So yeah, what I'm getting at is I just kind of started to like dip my toe in the water, but I did have a period of time where I really had to let go of those coping mechanisms to some extent so I could learn how to self-regulate. So I could learn how to be with myself. I could learn how to tend to my inner child instead of getting high or having a man tell me I'm pretty or having an orgasm to numb the, you know, kind of numb the pain and keep everything and all the dopamine and all the things flowing, you know? So I had to learn how to, I just wanted to note on like Kiara, what she had mentioned with the rigid boundary being necessary. I like to have more flexible relationships with things now, but I do believe that period of time was necessary for my healing so that I could learn how to self-regulate. And I probably would introduce it to somebody as a practitioner now in a more titrated manner. But at the time I was just, you know, diving all in, doing whatever I could to like heal. I didn't know any better. I wasn't trauma informed. I didn't understand the nervous system. So I think I just started to, when I felt ready after that rigid boundary to kind of start, I just started dipping my toe in the water. So there was a little bit of a titrated approach there and just kind of started to feel things out a little bit more. But also when I would realize that, okay, this has been a great experience, but I know that this person isn't for me, I stopped entertaining it just so that I could have somebody there. Like I was done with that. If it meant that I wasn't going to text somebody before bed at night, that was okay because I knew this wasn't my person and I wanted to keep the space open for who was. And it taught me, it gave me a longer period of time where I was able to really like partner myself and show up for myself in all the ways that I hoped a man would. Like I remember one night building my TV stand. That was like the biggest accomplishment ever for me. Like I did this without a man. I had this thing with Parker's dad. I'd always want, and by the way, he wasn't an abusive relationship. He's a good dad, but, he was my high school. We got together at 15. So we were just really young, but I would always want him to take out the trash. So there would be these moments where I would like fling the trash bag over my shoulder and like walk it to the trash and be like, I can do this myself. Like I don't need a man for this. You know? So I kind of had a little bit of that like independent woman phase. There were like a couple of different phases within it. And then real sweet story. One day I was going to take the trash out and Parker comes to me and he's like, Mama, I can take it out. And I was like, oh, like he was like, yeah, super sweet. So I think that, I just started to like open to full circle answer it. I just started to like test the waters and slowly entertain things. And then when I realized they weren't it, I was like, nope, I'm going to keep the space open and continue like dating myself, being with myself, healing myself. Me and my husband knew pretty instantly that like, he just like I told you, I would go into like meditations and really just feel into the way I wanted it to feel when my partner would hold me and I could just like feel him. And I would get emotional sometimes because I never gave up hope that like the man that I so deeply desired partnership with was out there. And as I could just feel it, like when he held me for the first time and just like our interactions a couple dates in, I was like, man, this is looking pretty solid. Like this feels really similar to like what I was writing about and meditating on and praying for. I could just like feel it you know?
What you're speaking of reminds me so much of the feminine masculine dynamics, like within our own beings, because they're non-binary. They're within every single person, the feminine and the masculine poles. And I think when you speak of like just really partnering yourself, it makes me think of just really building that inner masculine, like building that relationship with your own inner masculine and really tapping into that and then sensing into that. And then here comes Jared, your amazing husband. And it's like, oh, that is what that feels like. And it's so reminiscent. And this is how I know. And I guess it's true what they say, when you know, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is for in our case, at least, you know, I know it's not the same. Not every love story is the same. But with us, it was like, yep. And even him, you know, he'd been in long-term relationships, never, you know, like knew the way that he knew when we, you know, started dating. So yeah, it was a beautiful experience, but I love the feminine masculine dynamic that you brought in. And I do believe I was having to take on a little bit more of that masculine role as a single mom, right? Like I was having to definitely be the provider and implement the structure and, the stability, and also still embody some femininity and bring in the nurturing aspect. So I was like definitely playing both roles for several years, just in the role of like single mom as well.
And I'm sure now Parker is getting to get a sense of what secure attachment is like just by looking at you and Jared and being in the same household and feeling the energy, because I really think, yeah, that's how attachment is, well, there's so much more that goes into it, but that's a piece of it and how that's built. So that's awesome. I'm curious, Jen, what do you have in the works for yourself right now? I know you mentioned that you really want to work with people who are wanting to call in relationships. Who is it that you work with primarily?
Yeah, so mainly the work that I am continuing to study and just dive into is trauma healing and nervous system regulation from a somatic lens. So a little bit of my background, I spent 10 years as a yoga teacher prior to entering more of like the coach practitioner space. And so I've always had this background with working with the body. I was a yoga teacher and did several years of modeling as well. So that was like background. And so the somatic lens, it was, you know, I was doing traditional talk therapy for a while, but when I started working with a somatic practitioner, that's when like the healing really started to take root. And I started to realize that this was like a big calling for me. So really wanted to dive in there. So decided to go into the program and start learning more here, but eventually I do think it will open up to more of like people who are navigating trauma bonds and patterns with romantic relationships that do feel more toxic, that do have attachment, maybe more like insecure attachment, and helping them start to transition towards either calling in a healthier, secure relationship or creating that within the relationship that they're in. So I think I'll definitely dive. And, you know, I told you there was a lot of healing around the seductress and the relationship to sex. So intimacy is a big area, a big calling that I eventually believe I will step towards. I'm really just continuing to like find my voice, like as a practitioner, as a creator, as somebody who is like stepping out and allowing myself to share my story. And I've kind of been titrating my way towards the experience of sharing about like the real deep, meaty stuff for me, because like it started with like my health journey and like kind of the holistic health stuff. And that gave me great experience in learning how to put myself out there. But now I'm just like kind of titrating my way more towards this deeper calling that I do feel to speak, to write, and to show up as a practitioner that supports people on their trauma healing journey.
Beautiful. And where can people find you and keep up with you?
Yeah. So you can connect with me on Instagram at @healwithjen. And I have a website in the works right now that should be up here in the next couple of weeks. And that will be jenleeray.com, but that is not live yet. So I'd recommend connecting with me on Instagram, because there will be a link to like my email newsletter eventually and a link to my website on there as well. So that'll be the place to find me for now. thank you for this opportunity to, yeah, share my story and connect with y'all and all of your listeners. I really do appreciate it. And I've really enjoyed this experience with y'all.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably. I want to say that you too, Kiara, you were vulnerable today too. And just, yeah, I think that a lot of people will feel very, very seen with what you've shared. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode with Jen and everything that she shared. And if you'd like to connect with her, please go follow her at Heal with Jen on Instagram. She's sharing so much helpful information. And if you felt connected to her here, then you'll definitely love her space over there. Her website should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And let us know how you liked today's episode.
In case you guys haven't heard, The Nourished Woman is my program that I have been working on for the past, I can't even remember when I first launched it. It was 2020, was it 22? Anyway, this is the third time that we're running this program. It's the space for women to meet in an intimate setting and really integrate the nutrition and nervous system piece. We do somatic practices together. We meet once a week and we really hold each other in the process of whatever is ready to arise. And we close doors in just a couple days. So if you are interested and want to join this round of The Nourished Woman, be sure to click the link in the show notes to join. And don't forget about Gabby's HTMA consults that she's also offering in a one-on-one setting. And she also offers seven days of messaging support in addition to that HTMA consult. And if you're wanting more of us, then head to the link in the show notes and be sure to get on the Body Basics waitlist. This is definitely going to be the space for you guys to really learn the basics of both nutrition and nervous system work, because if you're here on the show, you know the importance of integrating both the nutrition and nervous system piece, because in order for the nutrition to land, the nervous system piece needs to be in the picture. So we really wanted to create a space for you guys to be able to integrate both in an easy to digest format, because we totally understand that these principles can be made out to be super complex. So we've created an audio only course that is soon to launch in the next couple months. And if you guys want to get on the wait list, you get early access to early bird pricing, and that is $49. $49, you guys, that is insane for the first 24 hours. So you want to be sure you're on the waitlist so you get notified. And just as a quick thank you before you go, we'd like to say thank you to our sponsors on the show. This episode wouldn't be possible without them. So be sure to click the link in the show notes to check them out.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Body Wisdom Podcast. Before you go, we wanted to talk about one of our sponsors, Just Thrive. So a lot of my clients that come to me are dealing with a whole host of gut issues, you guys. As I've mentioned before, 80 to 90% of the population in America are dealing with some sort of gut issue, whether that's gas, bloating, indigestion, heartburn, acid reflux, you name it. Leaky gut is so common today just due to the nature of today's world. It's hard to escape stress, and a lot of us do not have the capacity nor the resources to be able to tolerate that stress. So our body starts taking a hit and starts compensating and starts adapting, right? How beautiful of a process. And there's a time and a space for certain supplementation, especially during the rebuilding process once we've established a solid foundation and framework through nutrition. Then we can kind of move through the gut repair rebuilding process. So one of the supplements I love recommending is the Ultimate IgG by Just Thrive. If you are not familiar with the term immunoglobulins, gosh, that's a tongue twister. Basically, it's just another word for antibodies. And these are the everyday heroes on the front lines of your immune system. So our immune system is like 80% in our gut. So we want to support our gut on a daily basis. And these antibodies deal with unwanted guests, unwanted visitors that we encounter every day. So they bind to them so that they can't escape and replicate. They neutralize them, and then they finally eliminate them from your body. So if you're interested and have been dealing with gut issues for a while and or are working with a practitioner and are curious about Ultimate IgG, be sure to check it out via the link in our show notes and use code BODYWISDOM at checkout for a discount. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.